We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Djadjawarong country.
Welcome everyone, and thanks for joining us on episode 138 of the Beyond 90 podcast. We've battled cross-city traffic, computer glitches, and all kinds of things, but we're ready and keen to bring this latest episode of Australia's longest-running women's football podcast to you, recording late on a Monday evening. So I've got the usual two with me. Firstly, up in the Sunshine State, Magella Card, and also based in Sydney, just like me, Dale Roots. I think we'll start with you, Dale. You needed whatever the IT equivalent of a pit stop is, because the first computer you tried didn't work.
Yeah, and much like a Formula One car, I too am tired of my computer behaving like it did. But we're all here now. That's all that matters. The most important things are the vibes along the way, I say.
Yeah, vibes. I mean, as anyone who's ever heard my NPL.TV commentary, I'm literally nothing without vibes, so I totally agree.
Vibes are very important.
They are. And also, Madge, now just patiently judging us Sydney-siders for our technical issues, while she never seems to have any technical issues.
I know, it's like my internet's going well. I credit being nice and close to the exchange that my NBN's very nice to me.
Yes, and long may that continue. But yes, it's episode 138, so that means Matilda's cap 138 is the person we will talk about, and this is one of the easier ones because we don't need any research. We are talking about an absolute legend, Lydia Williams. I mean, where do we start? Just junior football, I believe, in Tuggeranong United, so NPL capital football, but played in the dub for Canberra United and Melbourne City and overseas. I'm just looking at her Wikipedia page. Chicago Red Stars, Western New York Flash, Houston Dash, Reign FC, Arsenal, Paris Saint-Germain, and most recently, Brighton and Hove Albion. She is a Matilda Centurion and has so many achievements. We shall honour our Nordic biases on Beyond 90. She has played also in Sweden with Patea. But yes, where do we start? Dale, you are a resident Canberran, so we can only start with you. What do you think of when you think of, or when you hear the name Lydia Williams?
Probably one of the, I think probably inarguably one of Australia's two best ever goalkeepers in the women's game. Definitely up on the kind of Australian national team goalkeeping Mount Rushmore. But also, from everything that I've heard, a phenomenal human being, and again, a bringer of phenomenal vibes. Feel like now that she's kind of getting on a bit, she's into her 30s. She's not starting as much anymore as we would have seen in the last few tournaments and the last few games that Australia has played. She's now kind of stepping into the Pepe Reina 2010 Spain role of going around the change room with a very large speaker, which we love to see. But I think that she's one of those players that she's always been a competitor. She's always loved to compete. She started at Canberra United, I think, when she was about 19 or 20, came out of the AIS. She played for a couple of local teams, Tuggeranong and Woden, I believe, in Canberra. And then, she's definitely on the Canberra Mount Rushmore, I'll tell you that much. It was very difficult to watch her go to Melbourne City and have so much success, but I don't think that you can begrudge her of that success, especially when she is as good a player as she is. And now she's as I said, kind of slowed down a little bit in the last few years in terms of appearances, which has been unfortunate. But yeah, she's like clearly she's in the top 10 players of definitely post 2000. I don't think that could be argued.
Yeah, and of course, you taught me this term, Dale. So with the Canberra's greatest ever players, it would be called Mount Rushmore, wouldn't it?
It would be called Mount Brushmore. It would.
Thank you.
Thank you for illuminating the audience as to my wit and repartee.
Yes. And yes, I think. And yeah, just it's too late for me to think of something clever to continue on with that. So we'll go on to Madge. Yeah, just, yeah, of course, as you as a longtime member of Matilda's active support, you've had many chances to watch Lydia Williams in action and at her best. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the memories that immediately come to my mind is just her just pulling saves out of like from top corner shots, like at the World Cup, like I'm thinking Canada, mm-hmm. just keeping the Matildas in games and competitive in games and just really being like a huge part of Matildas making it through to the knockout rounds in our more recent World Cup appearances. I just love a loud goalkeeper. And she's one of the loudest. When you're a bit of a neutral, it's kind of fun just to hear the goalkeeper going at their defense. And yeah, on the human being side, she's always just been one of those fun players from a fan perspective, from a content perspective, just like seeing like her and Steph Catley just, you know, being silly, fun, bringing the vibes always. You can just imagine that she'd be a fabulous teammate to have in the locker room, just, you know, bringing good vibes all the time. So, yeah, just great player. Absolutely would agree. One of the Matildas, best ever, and yeah, legend of the game. So, love it. Yeah, good personality. Love it. Yeah.
From memory, she's always at the center of that thing the Matildas love to do, which is hide around corners of buildings and scare people. Her and Steph absolutely love that from memory.
And, they do.
And I seem to remember Ellie Carpenter being the victim a lot, but I don't know if it's that. Anyway,
I feel like Ellie Carpenter is constantly bullied in that team, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I feel like she cops a lot of the practical jokes.
Yeah. Well, it's not as if like Lydia's not yelling at them enough, but you know, as well as just hiding around corners as well, just you know, in all aspects of life.
Well, on that Ellie Carpenter thing, I think because she's been the youngest for a while, so perhaps she's glad that there's some players born after 2000 now.
I think you're right. It's like if any of you, like my youngest sister will always, like she's 26 now, I think, but she's still the baby and she gets roasted whenever anything goes wrong. So I assume it would be the same with Ellie. Like, yeah, there's still players who are younger than her coming up, but she's always going to be, I think, among the kind of centurions, she's always going to be the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And just, you two have spoken brilliantly about Lydia on the field. I remember, I think, a save in that 2015 World Cup quarterfinal against Brazil that looked like something out of the Matrix, and many more saves besides. But yeah, just also Lydia Williams, a great Indigenous role model. And she wrote a book in the before times, before COVID. This feels so long ago, but in fact, the Wikipedia page says it's 2019, so it's not that long ago. But yeah, her children's book saved. She's really trying to inspire the next generation. And that is one of the many things that we love Lydia Williams for. So let's move on. And we don't have, I'm going to be winging it this evening because we don't have a run sheet. We just have a bunch of stuff that got put in our Slack. So let's start with the thing Madge very kindly reminded me
about.
You're
really letting people behind the curtain here, mate.
Yes, it's like, right, so who would have thought that the man that doesn't prep for NPL.tv comms also
doesn't prep.
Let's just
keep saying vibes. This is the vibes
podcast
much today.
Very Wizard of Oz. Yes.
Matildas versus Scotland. That's the first game for the green and gold in the April senior international window. So Scotland, then England. That ties together very nicely. And yes, I have already christened this fixture the Colette McCallum Cup. But did anyone have any more concrete thoughts on this matchup?
I think it's a fun matchup. Yeah, I mean, like the Scotland is a good team. I think they only just missed out on qualifications. So a good test leading into England, I think, a nice one to sort of get the Matildas sharp and ready to go against, against the bigger team from the Isles, perhaps. So yeah, looking forward to it. And just having players like an Aaron Cuthbert that like are really familiar with playing with Sam Kerr and sort of Caitlin Ford and Steph Catley, fingers crossed she is healthy to play. I think it will be a a good game, and the England game as well, to test the Matildas against teams that are very familiar with our big name players as well. So it'll be good to see how we go in, not really being able to take teams by surprise, perhaps as much as some other countries.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that this is going to be an excellent first edition of We Both Hate the English Cup. It's going to be super interesting also, just like, as you say, Madge, a bunch of players who kind of play together or against each other. But then also, like, I feel like Scotland is kind of the, I don't know, as you say, they just missed out on the tournament, on this tournament. They're kind of like the Thailand of Europe, I guess. Like, not necessarily just that they just missed out, but also like they're kind of at the right at the top of that second tier of teams, kind of below Portugal, who have just kind of ascended, and other European teams. They've got a number of good players, and but most of their team is kind of based domestically. I am looking forward to seeing Rachel Corsi play football again, because again, a Canberra United legend. We love Rachel Corsi. And yeah, a lot of these players, as you said, they'll be very familiar to each other. Claire Emsley, who was playing at, I believe, Melbourne City.
Mm-hmm.
She's now in the US. And again, a lot of these players are playing in the WSL, so they'll be well known to Australia. It also gives kind of second tier is a little rough, but fringe European-based Matildas hopefuls an opportunity. One of the ones that I think of is Jacinta Galabatarachchi.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Claire Wheeler over there, who might get a little bit more of a run. You've got the players who will be going back over for the Nordic season. And then, yeah, you've got players like Libby Copus-Brown, Izzy Dalton, those kind of like that kind of five players who are playing in the first or second tier, or who are playing in kind of other countries as well. Like, you've got Anna Margraf, for example. She's in mm-hmm. Germany. She could get a...
She made team of the week even after her.
No reason why she couldn't.
Yeah, she was...
We did see that, yes.
In Bundesliga as well. She not only scored a banger of a goal, but yeah, team of the week. Great work.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And it's at a nice little ground. I think it's at Kings Meadow.
Cherry Red Record Stadium. That's Kings Meadow, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so nice little ground. Get a few in there. Get a, I don't know, chicken bolty and a iron brew. I don't know what they eat in England. Get some flavourless grey food.
Oh my God.
I think it's like the Scottish is very much chips and gravy.
Yeah, deep fried nut bars, innards, basically anything that has been alive and not moving away fast enough. It's how I would describe Scottish cuisine.
I would like to apologise to all our English and Scottish listeners.
To the entire country of Scotland.
Yes, yes.
You know what? I like playing against a team like Scotland, because they're a team that play like with a bit of a chip on their shoulder. I still remember being there in the 2019 World Cup against Argentina, where they got absolutely screwed over, being in the crowd with a couple of Scottish people as well. Right. So, they never get a lot of luck, but yeah, it just means they play with a lot of heart and a lot of passion. So I'm sure it'd be a fun game.
You make a good point, Madge. The Scotland Argentina that would make this the second running of the We Hate the English Cup. Yes. After Scotland played Argentina at the last World Cup.
Okay, so I've got a few things to say here. Firstly, I'd like to apologise to all our English and Scottish listeners, although for the cultural insensitivity that possibly has been shown here. But as it relates to Scotland v Argentina, I'd just like to say justice for Las Malvinas, which is the proper name for that group of islands. And so I've just undone all my work there. But what else was I going to say? Oh, if we're talking about... players based in Europe that could get a run for this, can't forget the world's greatest right back, Polly Doran, regular starter for Crystal Palace. What else? Oh yes, I love Dale's point about Scotland being the Thailand of Europe, because just like Thailand, Scotland lost 1-0 to a nation I hold very closely to my heart. Yeah,
very true.
So yes, and
we'll get to see Sam Kerr take on Sam Kerr potentially. Yes.
That's it. That's the point. So the other chance for the other Samantha Kerr to make herself known to Australian audiences Scottish international, currently playing for Rangers. It's even the middle names. So R. Samker is Samantha May Kerr, and the Scottish one is Samantha Mary Kerr.
Oh, no. That's, wow. I did not know that. That's very interesting.
I cannot
I was really hoping it was going to be April or something.
Yeah. Oh, June. Also, girl's name.
Yeah, ping me on Twitter if you're the person that discovered that, because I can't remember who it was. But yeah. And also a chance for Australian audiences to see Caroline Weir in a relatively low stress situation, which is not what I experienced when I watched Ireland versus Scotland. But anyway, so let's move on.
For like European based Matildas, Remy Simpson as well.
Yes.
Give a shout out to her.
Yes, how could I forget Northern Beaches football legend Remy Simpson? So, what else is big? It's no planning tonight. Ah, yes, the football news that we have to talk about. Karin Diacre is no longer the head coach of France's women's national team. Dale, you can go first as our resident French speaker. Everyone's got lots of feels.
I think the biggest thing is just relief. I think that I think it was France Football or L'Equipe came out and said that basically they'd been through an interview process, and that the one thing that was kind of a constant through all of that was that the players felt that they had reached a point of no return, I believe was the phrase that they used in the press release. There was a panel of people who were reviewing this selection, and obviously they've made the decision that she's not going to continue. I don't hold any ill will against her personally or professionally. It's just that obviously this is a relationship that has gone past its use by date. And when things are out of date, you know, if they don't pass the sniff test, you've got to throw them in the bin. Mm-hmm. And this team stank, to be honest. It was really sad to see what was happening, especially considering the kind of quality that they were losing off the pitch. It does ask a lot of good questions, as you say, Eric, whether the players who stepped away from the national team will come back. You think of Wendy Renard, you think of Amandine Henry, you think of Sarah Buhadi. There's a whole bunch of players who've stepped away. Grigenbock came out and said that she wasn't in contention for the World Cup, but she would be stepping away if she was, because she would be doing so in solidarity with the teammates, and I think that speaks volumes to them before and will remain there. And international audiences should take from this is A, nothing ever beats player power, and I think that we'll be seeing that very quickly in Canada and in Spain, who are the other two at the moment who are having trouble. But also that French people really like industrial action, and the biggest players stepping away is really what drove this. And I think that that culture is something that will stay there, as I said, but also I think it shines a light on how much this team means to the players, much more than the management. I think that's pretty obvious.
So I love two things. Firstly, the French love industrial action. Yes, they certainly do. Also, I think we've got the title for the podcast, Nothing Ever Beats Player Power. So, yes.
I think the disappointing thing, though, is that...
I was going to say, I just hope that we see the players out there with the barbecue on the tram tracks, but you go ahead, Matt.
Absolutely. I want to see that too. But I think it was still just really disappointing to see, even with this decision, the French Federation still being pretty belligerent and stubborn with their comments. They still had to just put the boot in a little bit to the players, even after the fact, which is disappointing. And it makes you ask the question, are they actually going to change anything about the way that they really do things behind the scenes? And again, going back to the point that federations need to have structures that work and keep everyone in their organization as happy as possible. No one's ever going to be happy 100% of the time. It's a competitive industry, so you're always going to have those sorts of tensions. But federations need to be set up in a governance structure and have mechanisms in place to keep players health and well-being and their own staff and their coaching staff with clear boundaries and avenues for recourse when they're needed, so that we don't get to these sorts of situations again and again. So the attitude's still a little bit concerning, but maybe if we just think on the optimistic side, maybe it's just a bit of saving face and hopefully there's some smarter heads behind the scenes who are actually working to get some real tangible improvements going to
the future. There is a very popular French football manager who is currently out of contract, who has won lots of trophies. If they were, he was part of the reason the FFF now no longer is led by Noël Le Graët. So if Zinedine Zidane is listening, I'm sure that the women's team would take him as their manager.
Now I agree. I just would love to see Zizou taking charge of the French national team in Australia, especially as someone that has tickets to all three of France's group stage games. That suddenly I'm Team Zizou for this. I'm sorry, Équipe Zizou for this one. I need to cover off a typically niche Dale reference. The barbecue on the tram tracks. It's because this video he showed me once of the French striking and French union striking and walking through the streets. There was a tram track on the streets and they'd engineered a barbecue such that the wheels were the same width as a tram track, so they could push it along and cook meat while they were striking, which is
necessity is the mother of invention, Eric.
Yes.
Australia has a motorized esky. The French have the
French have the barbecue. Tram barbecue. The tram barbecue. Exactly. The
tram barbecue for strikes.
Needs must. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
So let's see, let's head back to the Slack. What's next? Oh, yes, this was great news. The announcement beginning in 2024 of the women's version of the Australia Cup. Of course, the men in Australia have had the magic of the cup from the grassroots all the way to the A-Leagues for about a decade now. And so it's good to see a women's version coming off the back recently of Football New South Wales, to get my terminology right, finally getting their stuff together and getting a knockout competition for the women. We'll see next year a Women's Australia Cup. And exciting stuff, although there'll be a lot that they would need to sort out before this gets off the ground.
Mm.
So I don't... Well, who wants
to go Mad, first? You should. You've got takes.
Yep.
Oh, well, look, my take is, yep, there's stuff to sort out. There's, of course, going to be teething problems. We've already talked about, some of the issues with, players contracted to dub that also play in NPL levels across the country. Even though there may well be some odd teething problems in the first season or so, I think sometimes you just got to kick these things off and get going with it and start working through the issues as best as you can, because I mean nothing will bring to a head fixing some of those questions and those issues more than having a competition like this to try and force the hand. Maybe we'll see longer contracts and loan and loan arrangements between dub and NPL teams, which I think would be great to see for greater security for players as well. So hopefully that's something that we can see on the horizon. But more than anything, a cup competition is just really good fun, and being able to see sort of local teams from all around the country get into the spirit of a cup competition, I think will be a fantastic spectacle, as it has been for the men. So I just can't wait to see again, more and more of those fantastic, fun names of regional teams all around the country getting involved in the magic of the Australia Cup for women.
Mm. I think that's a good point you make around nothing kind of forces your hand more than having to do something. It's if you've got a tear in your jeans and you need to sew back together, you're going to figure out how to start back together. You've got to kind of teach yourself how to do things. And I think that that's similar to them. And yeah, those things will probably be all worked out by the time that we get to like the last 32, which is what happened in the men's tournament. Yep. Like, yeah, there was a Waratah Cup in like for us, and there's a State Cup in Queensland, and there's the Doherty Cup in Victoria. But like, we didn't really know how all those things were going to work together. We didn't really know what travel arrangements would look like, or how television would look, or how. But like, as you say, you push through, you make decisions, and if you get it wrong, you get it wrong, and then you pick it up next year. Because that's the good thing about this, you'll always have a second chance. And once this kicks off, like as I was saying to you earlier, Madge, off mic, our local Australia Cup qualifiers, our Waratah Cup, but our Australia Cup qualifiers kicked off here last week. And like my local team went to extra time against North Bexley, like team that I used to play for, played down in Wollongong. You know, it's, I think players were warm to it very quickly. And I think fans are warm to it, just like they do to these other competitions. And I think that this, the point that Eric makes around the Sapphire Cup in New South Wales, is that will draw kind of more prestige to potentially winning the Sapphire Cup and winning the double. As it's not just another trophy. It's not just getting your hands on some silverware. It's kind of potentially going and playing in Asia, because that's the next stage. Is that the Australia Women's Cup winner will then go to the next year's Women's Asian Champions League, which is huge. Like as I said to you, Madge, we could see Sydney Uni playing South Tashkent at Sydney Uni football ground. I'm looking forward to Bangkok Glass playing in the Arctic Circle. Like it's just one of those things where like you look at this and you go, okay, that's great, but then you look next year and 5 years and 10 years and 20 years, and then we'll think, oh well, we were here for the World Cup, and then we were here for this as part of its legacy, and then we could be coaching and our kids could be playing in it, and we could be telling them about how we were there at the birth of this tournament. And you know, it's pretty special, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, on that, we talk about these matchups, and my first thought was, I do wonder who's the first player that's going to be cup tied. So they'll play in the qualifying rounds with the state league teams for somebody maybe that, then they might do a mid-season transfer to another state league team, or be signed by a dub team, and then suddenly, oh no, you can't play because it counts as the same competition. As you know, you can't play for two different teams in the same knockout tournament. I think that's happened with two Blacktown City players in 2017. But yeah, so that's something. And please, no ineligible players playing and then forfeits, please. I don't need
any more player ineligibility in my life, please.
No, definitely not. My other thought is so similar to my thing with the Sapphire Cup last week. Who's going to be the first dub team to get knocked out by a state league team? And I suppose if any of you are wondering what's on my mind, can I just say I'm not going to divulge that. You'll have to figure that out for yourself. But yes.
On to the next. So when Central Coast Mariners get knocked out by Lions FC or something like that.
I now, as I go back to my old pre-social media self, I've had quite enough of Central Coast Mariners losing to teams wearing orange. So, okay, what's next on the Slack? Ah, yes, the Young Matildas were in action. And yes, the kind of matchups you only seem to get in these youth international tournaments. Australia with the small matter of a 13-0 win over Guam, and then backing that up with a 7-0 win over the Kyrgyz Republic. So that means they've won their little group of three in the first qualifying round, and they're through to the next qualifying round, which, my goodness, I wish I'd prepared and I remembered when it was. I think it's in June for Australia's under 20 side, but I mean, you just like, they were always going to win, but they didn't concede, which is two clean sheets is always good. And yeah, like a lot of the next gen are getting some game time. Sorry to put you on the spot here, Madge, but were there any prominent Queenslanders over the two games?
I think Ella O'Grady finished off a beautiful team goal, yes. I think, in the second game. I think that may have been the fourth or the fifth goal in that game, just end-to-end, basically. And she was the lucky one who got to run in and put the ball away. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's what we expected. But, and again, I feel like I'm feeling like a bit of a broken record, but like you said, Eric, just great to see our youth teams across the board just getting more games, going to these tournaments, getting runs into the legs. And hopefully, you know, we see them go from strength to strength, because I'd really love to see them, you know, qualify without having to rely on another team pulling out. I think like the last World Cup that we went to for the first time in ages. So yeah, let's get there the hard way. You know, winning all the games we have to win to get qualified and create, you know, new experiences and new great memories coming up through the ranks.
Yes, it was Elle O'Grady with finishing off that team move. I'll try and remember to put this in the pod notes. Shout out to friend of the pod, Kieran Yap, for clipping that up and putting that on social media. And I mean, Kyrgyzstan was the host nation, so I feel like the odds of the rights holders getting in touch with him are fairly minimal. So that should survive till we publish the article. Dale, did you have anything to add to Madge's brilliant thoughts?
No, I think she wrapped it up nicely. As you say, the draw is, I believe, in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then the second round is in the first 2 weeks of June. So that'll be after the dub season, which is good, halfway through the NPL. Mm-hmm. And the teams that qualified, I'll just run through those. Australia and China in pot one. Pot two is Vietnam and Myanmar. Pot three is Iran and Nepal. And then pot four is Lebanon and Taiwan. They'll meet the top two. They go into two groups of four. Top two make it through, and then they play Uzbekistan, Japan, and the Koreas, which should be a lot of fun. And that's next March, I think.
Yes. Although, can I just say, we are of course making an assumption that DPR Korea will actually participate by that. So.
Yeah, you make a good point, actually.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah.
Anyway. Before we create an international incident, I think we move on.
Yeah, well, that's three footballing nations that we've offended today. But can I just say, DPR Korea, you might as well spell their name with an asterisk at the end of by this point, because they're just like,
I don't know. Especially when it comes to their women's games, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sadly stuff. But it's just, wait, is that? Sorry, it's that kind of podcast. Let's talk about actual dub games now. So quick rundown of the weekend's results. Brilliant scenes that I love to see at Kogarah, Sydney FC 0, Wellington Phoenix 1, then also in South Australia, Adelaide 2, Perth Glory 1, and then at Perry Park, Brisbane 2, Western United 0.
I'm happy this week.
You are, and you will. I will go to you first as a result, Madge. Then on Sunday, Western Sydney Wanderers 1, Canberra United 1 at Wanderers Football Park. And then the rare Monday afternoon game, the rare Monday 3:20 p.m. kickoff, in fact, because there was a public holiday in Melbourne. Melbourne Victory 2, Melbourne City 0. So, Madge, yes, we can go to you first. Brisbane Roar knocking off the league leaders. How good?
Yeah. Look, I mean, post-game, all of us fans just having a chat together. I think more than anything, we were just really, really proud of, you know, them, you know, bouncing back after a bit of an ordinary performance in Wellington, you know, still grabbing the draw, but it was a little bit hard to watch at times, but then just to see them really bounce back with a great team performance. I was personally really happy. I feel like coaching staff might be listening to the pod, because I got my wish of Kai Stevenson and Katrina Gorrie starting in midfield. So that was really fun to see a little bit of experimentation. We saw like a three at the back with our fullback wingers kind of swapping in and out, which was, it was really nice just to see Gareth McPherson changing things up a little bit and also keeping Shea Connors at that striker role and Larissa Crummer out on the wing a bit more. So really just, it felt like they were just, you know, played with a lot of freedom and just two great, the first goal in particular, just like Minigori piffing the ball up to Shea Connors on the run, just a fantastic vision and transition goal there. And another one of my young faves coming in for the late in the second half, Tamar Levin giving the assist off to Shea Connors again. And back to the first goal, just Shea's finish as well, just chipping it over the keeper. Just, you know, yeah, really happy with the performance. Good vibes, good times. Keeps the Roar in with a slight chance of finals. It's still the run's a little bit too late, but yeah. And apparently, yeah, Shea Connors had some sad sort of news off field sort of the Thursday before, and without even knowing that, you could just tell that the team were up for it, and they were up for playing for each other and just having a really fun game, and it really sort of showed through on the park.
Yes, so that was good. And yeah, it's just more dub. It's Brisbane, sadly it hasn't been the best season for your team, Madge, but they knocked off the league leaders. That's why we love football.
And you know what it is? It's a lot of the time when even if your team's not winning, if they're putting in and they're sort of like they're trying hard and they're working hard for each other, you can really tell, and that's often really just what you want as a fan. The wins are fantastic, but even if you're losing, if they're losing, giving it a red hot go, and trying their best, and and you're just getting beaten by the better team, you can accept that. And as long as the vibes, we're going to go with the vibes. As long as the vibes are good and fun, you can usually leave a game feeling pretty okay.
Yeah. So just briefly, as we run through the Saturday games, I've sunk the boot into Adelaide plenty of times for the lack of goal scoring. They finally scored multiple goals in a game. I don't know if this is the first time this season, but big 2-1 win for the Reds over Perth Glory. One of their goals was an own goal, but as Dale often says, they don't draw pictures on the score sheet. So The important thing is Adelaide scored twice and they beat Perth. Now on to a game and success for a team that I think has always that never puts in less than 100% since they've come into the dub. The results haven't gone their way, but they still give me plenty of great vibes. And you were at this game, Dale. Sydney versus Wellington. How about that?
Sydney. What are you doing? What is going on? I know that they had a bunch of players out this week, but still basically had they had the same front line that they went with last week, with Lowe at the point, Abini and Vine. Chloe Knott had one of the great dub performances. She was absolutely everywhere for this whole game. Obviously, Kate Taylor scored the winner halfway through the first half, but yeah, Sydney were trying to pick a lock with a hammer, and they just had no real answer for kind of Wellington should have tucked away. But yeah, Wellington were far and away the better team on the day, and you could tell that it meant a lot to them. Obviously, it's their biggest result in their history. I don't think there's any argument about that. Yeah. And now they're only 1 point behind Newcastle off the bottom of the ladder with game in hand. And with two games in hand, rather. And I was like, no, you're right, with a game in hand. And yeah, interesting times ahead. I think I was going to say they're peaking at the right time, but it's not like they can make a run for finals. They're 15 points out of the finals race, but they're peaking. So what we like to see.
They're peaking. And yeah, possibly a chance to not to avoid the spoon, which I think would be great for everyone in yellow and black. In amongst my ridiculous Mackenzie Barry nuffery, I don't think I talk enough about how good Kate Taylor is as well. I mentioned previously, the ridiculous hill I'll die on is that Mackenzie Barry and Kate Taylor is the best centre-back partnership in the dub. Clean sheet for them and a goal for Kate Taylor as well. So yeah, that was really good scenes, and I wore my Mackenzie Barry jersey with pride at commentary on Sunday.
Barry was all over both wingers. I got to say, they tried to change things up. Europe tried to change things up. Put Vine and Abini on the opposite wing. They played Barry at right fullback, and she just tackled and ran and tackled and ran. And as I mentioned to you, Eric, she did participate in the dark arts late in the second half with one of the slowest throw-ins that I think I've ever seen in a professional football match. But got to do, as you say, you got to do what you got to do.
Speaking of dark arts, I do have to give a shout out to Hensley Handcuff as well. Late in the second half, I can't remember who was coming in on it, but there was a bit of a collision with a Western United player. Western United player goes down, no foul or anything, but Hensley looks at her, checks that she's okay, and then realizes, oh, hang on, I should fall down and hang on. Like a good, like everyone was like just laughing their heads off. But, a little, she's a young goalkeeper, so she's still going to learn the subtleties of it. But
it was a delayed concussion.
Yeah, look, delayed shoulder injury. Like, the stinger that can take a little while to register sometimes. But good work. We like to see it.
How dare you be cynical? We all know that concussions can have delayed symptoms, and sometimes they can. The worst ones. Yes, we must take head injuries seriously.
We have to take head injuries seriously.
Oh dear. Yes. I just want to talk about that Mackenzie Barry throw-in where she, in the words of my esteemed colleague Dale Roots, like she approached the loose ball by walking as slowly as if you would if you were approaching a crocodile, and then the coach trots over slowly to get the ball, so Macabaza stops, and then the coach throws it only half of the distance to Macabaza. So
Macabaza, he kind of like rolls it to her. Yeah, and then she's like, oh, I have to go all the way back to where the throw-in is, and then kind of like runs. Yeah, it was very good. It took, the whole throw-in took probably 30 seconds. So yes. it was in stoppage time as well. So
an absolute work of art. And yeah, back to Dale's more serious point about, Mackenzie Barry tackling and running and not letting anything go past her. Well, that's why they call her the Wall of Wellington. So, on Sunday, Dale, I believe, was also watching this, his beloved Canberra United battling to a 1-1 draw, as I said, against the Wanderers. And I didn't get just one "you didn't want her" goal. I got two of them with Liv Price scoring for the Wanderers and Vesna Milivojevic scoring for Canberra. I think you were saying to me off mic, Dale, Canberra kind of blew this one.
I think "blew it" is probably a bit harsh. Mm. I think they didn't really have the answer, but Michelle Heyman probably had 2-on-1 opportunities. They were like, Nikki Flannery had a really good game until probably about 75 minutes, I think, and just kind of really, really faded. Canberra went to a back three for a bit. Grace Mark getting the gang all back together. There were some good, as I said, there were some good moments for Canberra. They just couldn't get it all together. A very Angelique Christodoulou, who got nutmegged by a Grace Charlie back heel in stoppage time. You've been a great servant of the game, and that really topped it off.
Likes. Let's move on to the I can't believe this, the Monday afternoon game. I've forgotten, Dale, if you said you'd watch this, but yeah, Victory defeating Melbourne City by 2-0, early goals from Melina Ayres and Paige Zois. So Victory really showing the A to Z of goal scoring there. What if you saw, please someone help me out. If someone actually saw footage, please help me.
Yeah. No, it was good. Victory were really good, I reckon. I wouldn't go so far as to say they controlled this from end to end, but the penalty that they were given was a bit ho-hum, if I'm honest with you. But if you raise your ball, if you raise your arm towards the ball in the penalty area and it hits you in the arm, you've only got yourself to blame. You give the referee a decision to make. And then Paige Zois just absolutely bluted a goal from like 25 yards out. It was an absolute banger. I was pretty impressed with Victory. They definitely are peaking at the right time. And if like we're only three weeks away from an elimination final that will most likely be between these two teams. And on this evidence, I can't see City making it past the elimination final. Victory were very, very good.
Yeah. So I think this has been like a happier vibes podcast than a lot of those, but come on. What's happening with the weekday 3:20 PM kickoff? Seriously. Like
they had a game after this as well. So yes. I understand that it's a public holiday, but that to me means you put the game on the Sunday night. And then you play the men's game at like 7:00. But
yes, Yes.
Also, I saw online that one of the Victory Vikings got kicked out of the stadium for wearing a t-shirt with Danny Townsend's face with a big cross over it.
So, well, it's unlike security at a specifically Victorian A-League game to be heavy-handed. But alas, not shocked in the slightest.
I mean, could that's apologies not to make light of what is a ridiculous situation. I was kind of hoping that perhaps they could explain that it was anti-Sydney sentiment, and then because it's Melbourne, that would have all been okay.
You would think that would fly even with the Melbourne security, but
Well, you know, if there's one thing Melburnians love, it's telling people how bad Sydney is. And yeah, they definitely achieved that with that t-shirt.
Yes. And now that I have to make a cross city commute for work, I agree with them. Yeah, Sydney sucks. So
Jeez, you got a rubber arm, Eric.
It's like my point on the kickoff time. Yeah, man. Yes, it's a public holiday in Melbourne, but you love what television viewers. It wasn't a public holiday in the other states. So, I mean, I work for a football club. That doesn't mean I can watch football at work.
Yeah.
Ay.
And it was Labor Day in Melbourne. So it's like the most public holiday that's not a public holiday anywhere else.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, that's add another one to the list. Let's crack on and get to next weekend's fixture. So it's Friday afternoon football at Cooper Stadium. So they got at the big stadium, so I'm assuming that's a doubleheader. But Adelaide United versus Newcastle Jets, 5:05 p.m. but that's Australian Eastern Daylight Time, so that'll be 4:35 p.m. local time. Anyway, Saturday, three games, Melbourne City versus Sydney FC, 1 p.m. at Kingston Heath. So if you're going down to that, get yourself a souvlaki. And 3 p.m., Canberra United versus Melbourne Victory. And then also at a 3 p.m. Sydney time, but this would be 5 p.m. local time. It's the second version of the distance derby, Wellington Phoenix versus Perth Glory. And then on Sunday, it is Western Sydney Wanderers versus Brisbane Roar, 4 p.m. Sydney time. So, anything in particular stand out to either of you two?
Well, I see a big 6-pointer there. Mm-hmm. Canberra v Melbourne.
Yes.
Could be a 9-pointer if Canberra win its appeal,
yep.
which I believe would be the most points ever given in a football match. I see the sun bearing down upon me at 1 p.m., burning me to a crisp. And we found out why that is the case, because there is a MPLV game on there at 3 o'clock. What a absolute bin fire that is. I assume that Sydney have probably booked their flight back to the Harbour City and haven't been able to move that for whatever reason. So, again, you might see them taking in a bit of MPL Victoria action and chowing down on a post-match souvlaki if they stick around.
Well, that's just... Now I'm annoyed about the scheduling things and all of that. But, yeah, so, this is... I'd say a bit of commiserations to Perth Glory head coach Alex Aparkis that he's got the longest trip pretty much in world football, and Wellington Phoenix feeling good after beating Sydney FC away from home. So he's just lost his own game, but you never know. Like, now that I've all said that, it probably means Perth Glory will win. So apologies in advance to our Kiwi friends if I've jinxed Wellington. I might actually be able to go to the Sunday game involving Madge's team away at the Wanderers. And it's just, I'll make an obscure point that I think only one of our listeners will get, but it's a team wearing black and red versus a team wearing orange in Blacktown City Council. So my message is to the Wanderers is you'd better win. Hello, Megan.
Very true.
Yes. Just
right next to the ground that they usually play those games at.
Yes.
Not being played there.
And yeah.
I do love when you watch games at Wonderland where it has like the big, like the field numbers on the side of the main six. Pitch. It does have a very big like Hackney Marshes vibe to it.
Yes, it does.
It'll be an interesting one. I think Brisbane are going to get a little bit more than they bargained for in that match, just because I think Wanderers will be a little bit more hot to trot after their exertions against Canberra than they are usual. But as you say, Madge, vibes are good in the Brisbane camp at the moment.
Yep. Oh, God, is that it? Oh, yes, NPL football. So, Madge, yeah, might as well, given we've just spoken about Brisbane game. You've gotten down. You watched a game on the weekend, so tell us all about it.
I did. Well, I went from Parry Park out to Lions to see an absolute shellacking. The Lions bounced back from the ending of their unbeaten streak last week to a 9-0 win over Capalaba. So they definitely weren't happy about losing their record. Actually, they've still got the record, but not being able to extend it. Two absolute cracking goals, from one from Tegan Riding and then another one from Tegan Thompson. And I think I was listening to an interview with Rob Askew. It may have been on the Brisbane Football Review, sort of talking about, I know Tegan Thompson, she's played a few games for the Brisbane Roar earlier this season. I would think she should be a good shout for playing Dub next season. So great quality sort of attacking defender. So look, they're bouncing back really well. There was also a top of the table clash between Gold Coast United and Eastern Suburbs, with Gold Coast United coming out on top 2-1. So they're now top of the table, undefeated. Other news of interest: Souths United beat Mitchelton 1-0 with Sonny Franco scoring the goal there for Souths United. The Sunshine Coast Wanderers had a 1-1 draw with the QAS.
Yeah, thanks so much for that. It's incredible that you find the time to follow Brisbane Roar, do the Matildas Act to support, and keep track of your local NPL competition as well. But thanks so much. Dale, were you able to catch any of the NPL New South Wales women's action yesterday?
Other than the game that you lovingly called, St George versus Central Coast, which was helter skelter, I believe would be the word that I would use to describe it. We did have an Olympico in the Blacktown Bankstown game, I believe it was.
Yeah, that was Alexa Caristal, former Canberra United player.
So that was fun. We do love an Olympico. And I did see that Manly and MacArthur drew 2-2 with a late goal by MacArthur, if I recall correctly. Yes,
correctly. That's right.
I'm just thinking, did I watch the other? I think that was it. I think that was the only details that I'd seen. But there have been, it's the first week back, and it was the thing about like Sunday kickoffs for me is Sunday is a very good time to nap. And unfortunately, it got the better of me this week. But I did watch that League One game, which was a lot of fun.
Yes.
One of the worst shoulder to shoulder tackles I've ever seen in that game. But alas. Yeah. Just having a quick look. I'll go through the results. Gladesville 0, Football New South Wales 2, Blacktown Spartans 0, Bankstown City 3, Emerging Jets 2, Bulls FC, MacArthur but not 3, RPF 4, Sydney Uni 2, MacArthur and Manly had a 2-2 draw, and then Olympic beat Spirit 3-0 at Petermore Field. And then next week, round 2, we go all again. I know Uni play. I don't think Uni play at Uni for a while, so I'll have to go and have a look at that one once I get a chance.
That's right.
That's always a good afternoon out there.
Last time I checked, Uni have a quote unquote home game on Saturday night against Northern Tigers, but it's at Valentine Sports Park in Western Sydney, and it's on the smaller number 3 field, so it's not even the main synthetic field, but such are their own challenges. By the way, I think because the results website isn't quite fully updated, there's also Northern Tigers 3 defeating Illawarra Stingrays 0 at
Palomar Recreation Area. I think I'll be getting myself out to Apia versus Bulls next week at Stadio Lamberto. That'll be good fun.
And make sure you get either a coffee or a red wine. I recommend you don't try both at the same time.
No, I definitely will not. It's basically an Italian Jager bomb. I don't think I need to
Oh my God. Why did you say that, Dale? Now I want to do it.
No, we are both too old for that.
I'm definitely too old for that. Yeah, but it's just from the little bits I caught also, calling actually second division action in New South Wales. Central Coast Mariners, of interest to me, have a couple of Philippines internationals. So shout out to Kaya Hawkinson and Kiara Fontanilla. Also, I love that Central Coast had a player. I hope she's okay, but it looked like she was suffering from the heat because she was withdrawn after about 20-30 minutes and then just went straight to the shade at Rockdale in the trees and was there for a while. So fingers crossed that player's okay. But Central Coast Mariners bringing on Sabet Uzunla to replace her. So in a second division team, bringing an Asian Cup winner off the bench. I love my state leagues. Just anything can happen. Daisy Arrowsmith scoring against the Spartans for Bankstown City. The first of what I assume is many, many goals. So she's my prediction for the 2023 NPL New South Wales Women's Golden Boots. And what other points did I... Yeah, that's about it, I think. Because if no one else has anything to add or any observations of the Aussies abroad, I think we might get on to Queens of the Week.
Well, speaking of Aussies abroad... We haven't had her as a Queen of the Week for a while, but I thought I'm going to give to Sam Kerr, the Aussie Sam Kerr, of course.
Yes.
for scoring a wonderful goal for Lauren James, wonderful assist in the top of the table clash for in the WSL, getting Chelsea the win over Manchester United. So just, you know, a wonderful finish, chipping the world's best keeper. Great to see Sammy just continuing to do what she does, but in such a huge game that bodes well for Matildas and football fans everywhere, unless you are a fan of Manchester United.
And lucky France is not on this podcast, so I can safely say that I don't care about Manchester United. Dale, who is your choice?
My choice this week is we had another game in the WSL, as we mentioned, with three Matildas, Claire Wheeler, Remy Simpson, and Courtney Nevin. Mm. Almost 250 minutes between the three of them played. All three started, and only Remy was withdrawn just after the hour mark. It was a 0-0 at the King Power, Filbert Street, or whatever it's called now. Really good to see them all getting out there. We did see those players. There was a bunch of players last week as well who all got together. I think that was the Villa Arsenal game, but I could be wrong. Really good to see that. Remy did miss a really, really good opportunity in the first half that would have given them the win. But alas, really just good to see them all getting out there and having a good run.
Yeah, good to see. Loving three Aussies playing an English game. Just because why not why can't we just take over their competitions? I think
I agree
nothing wrong with it. As usual, I've got way too many Queens of the Week, but I'll try and get through this as quick as I can. So firstly, back to events at Lambert Park. We love a goal on debut. How about two goals on your club debut? Ashley Croft scoring twice for RPL Leichhardt in their win over Sydney University, and one of them was an absolute banger that is already on NPL New South Wales socials. Secondly, my local second division team, New South Wales second division team, Hills United, they won 7-1 against South Coast Flame in the first game of that comp played on the Saturday, the day before the rest of them. Three, I'm just going to give it to Gert. Really blatant bias here. I'm going to give it to the club, my new club, Manly United, because we almost got six wins from six across girls, youth, and women seniors against MacArthur Rams, denied only, as Dale said, by that late 92nd minute equaliser for the Rams in first grade. But shout out to Amalia Plummer from the Rams for scoring that goal. And finally, shout out to one of the new commentators. And we've spoken a lot about needing more women in media positions. So well done to Kate Anthony's for making her NPL.TV commentary debut in that Sydney Olympic versus Northwest Sydney Spirit game. And a fun side note, Kate was doing Olympics first game of the season, but in Olympics final game of last season, she was in goals for them. So how quickly things change. So I think that's it. I think despite my complete lack of preparation, I think we've done pretty well. So on behalf of Magella Card and Dell Roots, I'd like to thank you for your support. Wish you a life full of good vibes, good coffee, Razzlers, and opportunities in football, whatever that may be for you personally. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.